we're doing a little bit of agenda rodeo this morning to accommodate people's schedules. We're going to start with 1324-1. That's the four-fifths agenda. Carla?
Presentation by Portland State University Institute on Aging, on creating a community, on building a community for all ages, age-friendly Portland initiative.
Colleagues, December 15th marks the 50th anniversary of the Federal Age Discrimination in Employment Act, sometimes known as ADEA. The ADEA protects applicants and employees 40 years of age and older from discrimination on the basis of hiring, promotion, discharge, compensation, or terms, conditions, or privileges of employment. It's an important policy to promoting an age-friendly nation. When I think about us building as a community, I reflect on my dedication to building Portland as a community for all ages. We must engage people of all ages, socially, civically, and economically. Older adults are a renewable and largely untapped resource, our only growing natural resource, I would argue. And in Portland, we're working to maximize their skills and talents through our Age-Friendly Portland Initiative, which has been recognized both nationally and internationally. I believe that age-friendly cities will be more desirable, more successful, and economically more viable than those cities that are not. Portland can and should continue to be a leader in the global age, and the Friendly Cities movement is an important part of that. We need organizations and individuals, both young and old, and everybody in between, working together. We can build a community that truly is a place for people of all ages. Commissioner Nick Fish has had a long-standing commitment to this issue and has long been a supporter of our age-friendly initiatives here at the City of Portland. Commissioner Fish, would you like to say a few words to kick us off?
Well, I think in the interest of time, let's invite our honored guests forward and just say that I'm proud to live in a city that uses as one of its organizing principles the idea that we are welcoming and accessible to people of all ages and abilities. And that's reflected in everything from Harper's Playground, a place for young and old to enjoy, to how we build our buildings, organize our parks, our walkways, our trails, how we think about our economy. And we are blessed to have very strong partners here in the city. It's sort of a perfect storm. We have a mayor who, as county chair, took the lead and looking at how we capitalize on being a center for older adults. We have partners at Elders in Action, AARP, Portland State University, at the county and the state, and in many other places, who are working together very collaboratively to think about how we capitalize on this advantage of being a destination place for older adults. And as someone who is who will soon turn 59, I'm thinking more and more about these issues about an age-friendly city. And anyway, I'm pleased that we have this alignment between leadership on the council, leadership in the community, and that we have a council that's willing to invest in this important work. And turn it over to you. Thank you for your good work.
Very good. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having us here today. My name is Margaret Neal. I'm from Portland State University Institute on Aging, and along with Alan De La Torre, co-coordinator of the Age Friendly Advisory Council. What we want to do today is just run through a progress report of our activities over the last year. But before I start, I'd like to ask the members in the audience who are part of our community partners, members of our community partners, to just raise their hands at least so we can acknowledge them.
All right, welcome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you all.
So Portland is now a member and has been for several years of the World Health Organization's Network of Age-Friendly Cities and Communities. There are 541 members of this global network, 37 countries representing 179 million different people, and there are 13 affiliated programs, including the Canadian program and AARP, in the U.S., and there are 194 members in the AARP network of age-friendly cities. So an age-friendly community is one that's livable and friendly for people of all ages and abilities. And what we're doing through this initiative is trying to sharpen Portland's approach to livability, specifically looking at the physical environment, the social-cultural environment, as well as the service environment, which includes health services and communication. In terms of our timeline, we've been at this for some time. We began in 2006, and Commissioner Fritz will remember that. She was our initial champion of this effort. The World Health Organization asked us to participate in its Global Age-Friendly Cities Research Project to identify what makes a city age-friendly, what are barriers to age-friendliness, and what suggestions people had for change. So that's now a number of years ago. In 2011 and 12, Portland joined the brand newly created WHO Global Network of Age-Friendly Cities. In 2013, the action plan for an age-friendly Portland was developed by our advisory council and ratified, approved here by City Council. In 2014, Multnomah County joined the Global Network and the U.S. AARP Network. And then from 2016 to present, we've had a great deal of support from the city for our action plan implementation. To date, although we have 10 areas of focus in our action plan, we have 5 working committees. It's essentially a volunteer effort. And we began with civic engagement, our working committee on that. We have employment and the economy, health services, prevention and equity, housing and transportation. Those are our 5 working committees. And essentially what we're doing through this effort is bringing together community partners to align their various efforts. If you look at the diagram below, you can see that each individual organization makes an important but isolated impacts. When we can align the efforts of the different organizations, we can accomplish so much more. So this is essentially a collective impact approach. It provides a structure so that we can get our organizations together and make decisions together about how to move the age-friendly action plan forward. The advisory council adds value and an identity to the efforts related to older adults in our region through our age-friendly label, through local, national, and international networking, through public engagement and community storytelling, and through gathering of data and conducting research to inform local policies. So our action plan, as I said, was accepted in 2013 by City Council via resolution, and its goal was to inform City Council and City Bureaus in the course of decision-making related to long-term planning and capital improvement in the city. And the resolution directed the Advisory Council to oversee and monitor the implementation of the action plan. So I'll turn it over now to Alan De La Torre, talk about highlights from our last year. Yeah.
Mayor Wheeler, City Council, thank you very much for this opportunity to present. Before we get started, I wanted to thank Deborah Stein for helping us in compiling the annual report. She did a great job of maybe stripping a little of the academic out of us and getting something that was more concise.
I was just noticing that. Well done for reeling her in.
Thanks,
former leader of the Portland Planning and Sustainability Bureau. This is excellent. Exactly. Thank you. Well done.
I think it highlights some of the growing partnerships and kind of fine-tuning some of our efforts. I'd also like to thank the liaisons from each of your offices that have been working with us, in particular Jamie Dunphy and Michelle Planbeck, who've been meeting with us and really guiding us to be more effective in this effort. So I'm going to quickly touch on some of the highlights from the report. So first, with respect to physical environments, we really have focused on advocacy and consultation, and I want to highlight the work really that marches back all the way to the Portland Plan, but has come to a head with the comprehensive plan and the projects that have emerged from there in the residential infill project and Better Housing by Design. We really have had an opportunity to draft what is innovative policy that's being looked at from other places in the world, in the U.S. in particular. We're sharing some of that right now with Seattle. They're interested in kind of what we're doing and how we're moving forward the concept of visitability, which is a basic accessibility concept with zero-step entrances, wide halls and doors for people in mobility devices, and a bathroom on the ground floor that can be used by somebody in a mobility device. We've also been enhancing mobility options through the Neighbor Walks program with AARP, working with Vision Zero and the Adaptive Bike Program as well. Also, with BPS, have been working on a more inclusive public outreach component, doing some focus group research with end users of homes, as well as designers and developers, to try to get multiple perspectives on how to accomplish certain things. And I want to note here, with respect to the physical environment, just a call out to Suzanne Stahl, who passed away last month. Suzanne Stahl, I worked with her for more than 7 years in the Accessibility and the Built Environment Committee through the Portland Commission on Disability. She was a strong advocate and a leader in the area of accessible environments, and we'll miss her dearly. I know that there's an opportunity we're looking for to honor her, but this seemed an appropriate place to do that.
Thank you for doing so.
Yeah. I'd like to move on to social environments and really highlight one major thing that just occurred in October. We held our 2017 Aging Well Conference, which had over 200 attendees. We focused on community resilience, but we moved beyond the idea of just emergency preparedness as a component of resilience and looked at housing and healthy housing, including a session on feng shui and aging, which was the first time that we had seen something like that presented. Looked at conflict resolution. There was a great opening plenary on stories of resilience and the day-to-day experiences that people were carrying out. And about two-thirds of the folks who were involved expressed interest in continuing to be involved in some way, shape, or form. With respect to service environments, I think it's incredibly important to highlight that we launched this fall our new website, also trying to clean things up, streamline processes, provide people with important information so we don't have to answer those interesting calls and emails we get all the time to say, how has Portland done this, or what's the story? We really feel like the new logo is actually quite good, thanks to Multnomah County for that free consultation and work. I want to highlight a couple of other service-related issues. We've been working with the Water Bureau on affordability and crisis vouchers. I appreciate Commissioner Fish in reaching out to us on those issues. I have been training community health workers, who are really frontline workers with communities, on age-specific approaches, and our increasing involvement and advocacy opportunities throughout the community. So opportunities that are ahead. We would like to continue to be on the leading edge, but are recognizing that we've fallen behind with respect to some of the work that's happening in other communities. Investments from different municipalities, including things like statewide efforts that are starting to be underway, are things that we'd love to be able to explore. We really have the need to continue to implement the action plan that was accepted in 2013. We've made solid progress on housing accessibility, healthy aging, communication and information, but we're primed to advance employment in the economy, as the ADEA proclamation mentioned today, as well as transportation and civic engagement. But there's substantial work to be done with respect to inclusion and equity, understanding community services, and also housing options that may be available for older adults and people of all ages and abilities. I think that's important to note. This is not just about people over a certain age, but really thinking more inclusively about our community. We would also really like to find out ways this year to work more closely with bureaus and offices in the city. We found success at most of those efforts, and so if we can use the beginning of 2018 to figure out how to be more effective and to align more appropriately, that would be incredible. And we would love to suggest exploring an age-friendly position within government and to see if that's something that can move this forward differently and more holistically. Just a couple of ideas for cross-organizational synergies. We are exploring an age-friendly or an age-smart employer award that would maximize opportunities pertaining to an aging workforce, which is happening in government as well as other organizations in the community, and would love to start exploring what this age filter, this is a kind of an idea right now. We don't want to recreate the equity lens in the city, but to find out how an age filter or age equity may complement what's happening. And then, as I'm sure Barbara Bernstein, the Executive Director for Elders in Action, will talk about, really trying to enhance involvement. They've got an exciting new series called Civics 101. I'm wondering if I can sign up for that, actually. I want to leave just with the last slide here to read a quick quote. What we do now to make our communities good places to grow up and grow old will yield returns not only for today's elders, but also tomorrow's. that is for all of us. And I really think that this resonates with folks to say this initiative is about older adults, people with disabilities, mothers and parents with strollers, folks on their bikes, and everyone in between. So for folks who are wanting more information, please visit agefriendlyportland.org, and I'd like to turn it over to our colleague and collaborator, Barbara Bernstein.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, for giving me this opportunity to talk about... Move closer?
So just move it closer.
Okay. Thank you. To talk about volunteerism and how it's integral to this movement and to the community's health and well-being. As we know, studies know, and as we know instinctively, volunteerism has all sorts of benefits for aging well. It improves health and well-being. It provides meaning and purpose. It creates opportunities for physical activity, for intergenerational activity. It reduces depression. It reduces isolation. It creates an opportunity for a transition from work structures to volunteer structures that maintain social networks. And it provides all sorts of benefits to the community that older adult volunteers are serving. In effect, I'm going to say that volunteerism is the secret to aging well. At Elders in Action, we have about 10,000 volunteer hours logged every year. And if you translate that into a financial number, it's about $200,000 that the city is leveraging through your support of Elders in Action. And if you multiply that across all the volunteer activities that are happening throughout the city, you can see how volunteerism and civic engagement are integral to how this city evolves or what's the word?
How it works.
Okay,
how it works.
Thank you. And I do want to bring up, however, that times are changing. We've added 30 years to the lifespan in our memory, and that means that work life is changing, work volunteerism is changing, people are living into their 80s and 90s, and that will challenge how we do public policy and how we think about volunteerism and civic engagement. Many adults are living on limited incomes. In a time of reduced wages and disappearance of pensions, older adults are having to think about how they will make limited means stretch. Also,
can I just put one statistic in the record that I think I heard from one of you? Every day in this country, 10,000 people age 65 or older retire, and less than half of them have retirement savings of $10,000. So when you think about it, it's a ticking time bomb of a demographic wave of people that are going to be retiring without the resources to fund their retirement, and then, you know, they're going to have housing needs, healthcare needs, all kinds of needs, and it's in Oregon, it's around the country. And just think about that statistic and how staggering that is.
Thank you. And when you think about the answers to the questions, volunteerism is one way. When you ask us to reach out to diverse communities to link them to resources in the community, we do that with volunteers. When you ask us to work with the Water Bureau, we do that with volunteers. And one, you bring up a point about the home share program. That revitalization is a really amazing answer to one of the challenges that you just articulated. And we did that advocacy with volunteers. Additionally, as civic and faith community membership with shrinks, then there are fewer places for that civic engagement and volunteerism ethic to evolve and to be nurtured. And volunteerism has been a part of our community and this country, but it's not a given. It really needs to be supported, nurtured, and cultivated. And so the question for us can be, what are we doing in the schools? I'm really proud to live in a city that has a bureau dedicated to involvement, civic involvement. And it's called the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. I think of it as the Office of Community Engagement. But that support is just incredible to the nurturance and maintenance of the structures that allow older adults to be engaged in our community. So in a time of change, I want to say thank you to that support. The volunteerism and the civic engagement of our community is essential to the health and well-being of our city, and it's what makes this city an age-friendly city. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. And with that, I'd like to read the proclamation. Whereas December 15th, 2017, marks the 50th anniversary of the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, ADEA, enacted by the United States Congress to protect individuals 40 and over from discrimination in employment on the basis of age. And whereas the City of Portland recognizes that no one should be denied work or should lose work based on assumptions or stereotypes related to age. And whereas the Portland City Council, the Age-Friendly Portland and Multnomah County Initiative, and community partners such as Elders in Action, Venture Portland, AARP Oregon, and Portland State University are committed to a shared vision of Portland that is welcoming and inclusive to people of all ages and abilities. And whereas recruiting and retaining older adults in the workforce as employees, mentors, and business owners can create more economic opportunity and livable communities. And whereas age-friendly communities flourish when people of all ages contribute their knowledge and skills, experiences, time, respect, and services. Now, therefore, I, Ted Wheeler, the mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, here do by proclaim December 2017 to be the 50th anniversary of the Age Discrimination Employment Act of 1967 in Portland and encourage all residents to observe this month. Thank you and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to get a photo up front here. All right, we're going to do the pub report next, 1324.